All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Tell reporting from American Vindicta. I am from, as you know, the Common Sense Show. Together, this is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We have a breaking story, but it's shrouded in mystery. But some of the sources are highly, highly credible. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay out what I learned. I started learning this 2 days ago, but I didn't understand it. Last night, Paul Preston really put it in perspective. We had a late night conversation, and I was at the gym of all places, and the workout temporarily stopped because this information was earth-shattering. Let me give it to you straight. First of all, we have the Wagner Group inside the United States. I'm confident that that is true. And they are here as domestic terrorists. I am confident that is true as well. There are sniffer airplanes looking for bombs and nitrates and so forth in California. Not only has Paul told me that, I've gotten confirmation from my best military source, and also Monkey Works has a piece of this, and he's had a piece of this for a while. So there's a lot of sidebar collaboration with what we're going to tell you, but effectively it's this. Paul has been told by very high-level sources, and he is very seldom wrong, that the sniffers are being operated by Wagner that came in through the northern border, and they're searching for nitrates that are still active and can be detonated through use of frequencies. And these nitrates are part of weapon systems that are contained within many dams as part of the old Cold War program to detonate dams if Russians invaded from the north, flood the fields, and it would basically stop a Russian invasion. The Oroville Dam, and Paul and I did a story on this 2 weeks ago, so this isn't something we just made up last night. We talked about 2 weeks ago the Oroville Dam was increasingly in trouble. Today, it's at 100% capacity and has been for 5 days. And if this is an earthen dam with two damaged spillways that can't contain water. So once this dam overtops, a 30-foot wall of water would come out of the dam. It would be in Sacramento in about an hour. The crest would be 30 feet. By the time it reached Sacramento, it would be 10 to 12 feet. And it would wipe out a lot of stuff, including the rice bowl of the world, the biggest one. And also, too, many other crops would be affected. So we're talking famine. I-5 would be inundated and underwater, and 50% of our retail crosses I-5 going east. So that would be economically devastating. And once the tide coming out of the dam links up with the American River in Sacramento, it would have momentum to potentially reach the coast and also part south. And it could set off a chain reaction effect that would threaten the drinking supply of SoCal of about 20 million people. And I asked the question today, and I feel confident in this answer, how much water is in the system now in Southern California? And the thinking is between 4 and 6 weeks. So it's not like the SoCal would be without any water immediately, but it would create a long-term problem. Feather River Canyon, which is north of the Oroville Dam, six dams, and the road, Highway 70, has been shut down for weeks. Paul has hoofed it up there, and Paul Preston has said there's nothing wrong there. He's sure they're getting prepared to detonate. There are six dams there, and this could overwhelm the Oroville Dam. And keep in mind, they're in a hurry to do this because right now the winter meltdown has not even reached its peak. It's not even close. And with the Oroville Dam being where it's at, it would go out naturally anyway, given a few weeks. But it seems like these people don't want to wait if this is indeed their opportunity to strike. And so what we are looking at now is something that is, we believe, is targeted for July the 4th. That would be certainly a symbolic date of note, kind of like 9/11. Okay. So I think that this is a bona fide threat. We have enough confirmation that pieces are in play. And I'm going to run all this by Doug for his reaction. But I want to say this. I believe this coup against Putin was a fake coup. I don't believe that Wagner jumped ship. I think this was a cover story to do what they're getting ready to do here. There's even rumors that they go by a different name now, but the California Military Reserve is actually part of this. Can't confirm that if that's true or not, but the Wagner Group is indeed flying sniffing airplanes looking for nitrates. Now, why are they doing this? Final comment, then we'll go to Doug. With the ordnance as old as it is from the Cold War, some will be active and work and some will not be active and not work. And they're looking for active nitrates to trigger. But their backup plan seems to be to detonate the six dams in the Feather Canyon watershed that has that highway closed down. So ostensibly, no one could know what they're doing. So, Doug, that's effectively it. And since you had an important position inside DHS, I'd like you to respond to what you've heard here.
Well, currently, as I'm looking up things, and I have my little intel birds bringing me news, I'm not seeing anything about this. But once again, we're directed to looking at different position. We're paying attention much more to what Wagner's doing in Ukraine and Russia. As to whatever Wagner may be doing here in the U.S., and this is my opinion, until more sources come out, I'm just going to take it as is.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, I there's so many things going on right now within the, you know, military industrial complex and the intelligence community industrial complex that I don't know what is real, what is fake, and what is to scare Americans and what is to actually warn Americans. And currently, I don't know what the benefit of Russia is to put any of their people here in the United States upon military transports. And if they are sniffers, that means they're looking for, you know, nuclear ordnance. Is that our planes? And if it is our planes, what the hell are they doing on it? Because those planes, they're administrative. They can't hold troop. They're not troop carrier planes. So they can't hold a lot of people. And then the other part of that would be who allowed them to get on it. And what I'm trying to focus more on is why did Wagner out of nowhere say they're staging a coup for an incident that nobody can really vet? That's the artillery strike upon one of their encampments.
It's a cover story.
I think it's a cover story to pull Wagner off of the Ukrainian eastern border and to reposition them in St. Petersburg and Moscow. The same with the Chechens, because I think they are preempting a possible invasion.
Well, there's some support for what you're saying, because there's plans to withdraw American diplomats from Russia and Russian diplomats from America. I'm sure you're aware of that.
That's already going down from Houston, Chicago, and D.C. We're tracking flights that relanded back in Moscow. And in Britain, they even came out, said that, you know, they have military flights that are picking up the Russian military personnel. But I mean, State Department wise. So this is their embassy personnel flying on Russian military flights. So, you know, if you're evacuating, well, something's going down. So and to say what, I mean, like, how do you, Dave, how laughable. We're trying to find the truth between CIA, the Pentagon, and Moscow and the KGB. Like, someone's telling the truth, even though they're all known for lying. So, yeah.
You know, let me give you one more piece of perhaps collaboration here. Spoke with Border Patrol. Paul Preston has same information. The border crossers in California have gone to an astronomically low level.
Yep.
It's like they're not. Have you heard that, too? Because it's not like.
Yeah, all over.
Exactly. It's like they don't want to put them in harm's way. That is an assumption that Paul is making. I got to say this. Paul Preston has really good sources. They're not known to me. And you say, well, how do I know they're good? Because this guy's right. He's right almost every time. There's something going down. And the thing about these false flag attacks, Paul, I mean, Doug, you know this as well as I do. there's plans and there's contingency plans and there's contingencies for the contingencies. So sometimes they'll start down a progressive path to carry out a plot. Circumstances change and they have to change their tactics and what their mission is. So it's hard to say if we're looking at something fixed, but let me just say this too. Paul and I covered this potential problem 6 years ago. We even did a couple radio shows on it. We said, if you were part of CalExit and you wanted to force your way out of California, this might be one way you would do it. And we talked about this very scenario that has now come to the forefront. The one thing I was told by my best military advisor, who does not have firsthand knowledge of this yet, but he did say that if this is indeed true, they're not just going after the dams, they're going to go after all the infrastructure. But if the Oroville Dam goes and floods the way it's projected to flood by the Army Corps of Engineers, 25% of California's power will be gone immediately.
Well, we've already seen that it's a tactic that Ukraine was willing to use. And between the American spy agencies and the Ukrainian spy agencies, they immediately blamed it on Russia blowing the dam. That's in southern Ukraine. And obviously that was by the Ukrainians. They even admitted to it later. But right now you have U.S. intelligence also believes that Russian President Vladimir Putin was informed that his once close ally Prigozhin was plotting a revolt at least a day in advance. However, a senior U.S. official told ABC News that Putin was completely shocked by how fast Wagner forces advanced through Russia, threatening to enter Moscow. That's absolute bullshit. Now, once again, what we're reading is Operation Mockingbird, and the mainstream media has as much to do with this as our good friends from Virginia do. And so when we read stuff like this, when we go to research it, because of the Google algorithms, the first one or two pages of stuff that you're going to look up is most likely going to have narratives wrote by the CIA.
Yeah.
So you can't trust it. There'll be elements of truth in there, but let me show you what's not true. Okay. When it comes to us posting information and giving information to anybody, you know what we're going to leave out? This part. Putin was completely shocked by how fast Wagner forces advanced. How do you know that unless you had someone sitting next to Putin saying, "I'm completely shocked"? So that's a lie. There's your lie.
Doesn't he have satellites?
Yeah, he's got satellites.
My point exactly.
He's got guys all over the place. Now, if he was so shocked that they're moving so fast, then someone explain to me why when Wagner entered back into the Moscow district, not a shot was fired. They surrendered immediately. The Chechens were too late to enter. So if they wanted to really come in there and beef some guys up, the Chechens were already almost a day behind, really, in catching up to the group. So I don't know exactly if this is something that Shugoy, who's now supposedly been dismissed, which, you know, heads will roll now. So if Shugoy had anything to do with this, that's one of his Department of the Military members.
I don't believe there was a coup. I don't believe it for a second.
Well, I'll say this. It's not hard to stage an Operation Valkyrie to move your troops around, to reposition around you, and then start doing a massive detention operation or arrest operations. That was Operation Valkyrie from World War II with the Nazis. And so, you know, and these type of operations work. And to me, that's the first thing I saw was this, is this an Operation Valkyrie? Because as I'm reading in the intel that's coming in, I'm not sold by it. Been here, done that. I'm not sold by what I'm looking at. And I know my friends from Virginia and how pitiful they are at writing narratives sometimes. And this one just isn't that great. When Putin came out immediately, and we were down in the training at Ready Made Resources in Tennessee at Bob Griswold's place, we went to go eat, and this stuff is popping off. And so we were watching all this happening. live, and we're watching Putin, address his nation. And he said that criminal, 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 criminal. This is criminal acts. This is treason. This is reprehensible. Anyone who gets involved in this, you will meet a swift end, and you'll be held to the highest standards. You'll be tried, by your people, and it'll all be live and blah, blah, blah. And Putin looked very upset. Now,
could be playing a role. Yeah, Bob, let me just give you a scenario, okay? So Putin and I'm not even going to bring in the World Economic Forum or the NATO or anybody else. I'm just going to stick with the East, okay? You've got Putin and Wagner Group staging a fake coup. The attention's over here. Look at my right hand, because I'm going to punch America in the face with my left hand. We have the withdrawal of diplomats, which indicates war could be happening. And so we're looking right now like this could be a Russian plot to tear down the economy with the destruction of these dams, and also could cause a huge loss of life. It could trigger famine. This is an act of war. It's a good first preemptive strike to attacking. I think this is more effective than a nuclear war, and it doesn't carry the stigma that a nuclear missile would carry. And there's plausible deniability. The dam is already in trouble. So that's why I lean in the direction that that's where our attention should be focused. We'll see if it ends up being true. But to me, the most collaborating facts are this. Well, let me ask you this. If it's not the Wagner Group in sniffers above California, and you and I both know that's going on, then who the hell's flying those planes and for what purpose?
Well, if Monkey Works is flying it, then he'll be able to identify what the national origin of that is. And if it's American, then it's American forces.
Maybe.
That I do not believe one second that we would ever let Russian forces get left seat, right seat in any of our planes looking for nuclear weapons and allow them to fly down the Western seaboard where there are nuclear weapons.
Okay. Let me tell you a quick Fort Carson story. Okay. 2011. FEMA and the National Russian Defense Ministry signed an agreement to bring, I don't remember how many troops, 11,000 Russian troops to America. One of the places they went was Fort Carson. And I happened to make an acquaintance. I covered this story as it was happening. We had photos of the Russians shooting on training ranges with American soldiers. The Russians were in uniform. And this was the first time Russians were ever allowed on American soil. They were Americanizing them. They were directing traffic at the Colorado Springs minor league baseball game with Russian troops. We have the pictures. We know what happened. Okay. But they were also led into secure areas. And this is how I know this. You would not know this from the photos that were released. But I knew someone who was working for the base commander at the time. And he had, excuse my expression, but a shit fit about where these Russians were allowed to go on his base. And she was so demonstrative about this, but he was complaining so loudly in the home to his wife. She heard every word. And she knew things that I don't think she should have known that I didn't even know. So this was Obama implantation of Russia. In fact, let me give you one more thing. You said that they would not allow Russians to fly American planes. This is where I think I have to disagree, because when GridX 1, 2, and 3 were going on, GridX 1 happened. No big deal. It was an exercise on grid down, how we respond. But in 2 and 3, Obama invited in the Russians and Chinese. So not only did we let them see how our grid works, we also showed them how you take it down and what our response would be.
Yes.
That's, I mean, that's true. Valuable information. That's treason committed by Obama. So I have no trouble believing Biden found sniffers for Wagner. That's why I think it's possible.
Look, once again, I disagree. I disagree because what a base general and what a squadron commander are going to do are two different things compared to what DC wants. We know guys who work in the Pentagon. We know guys who work around the military, and we know the Patriots, and we know what they'll allow and what they'll tell people, hey, shove that up your ass. You're not coming over here letting Russians in. And Chinese in. Now, cross-training with the Russians and Chinese, I don't like it, but I wouldn't be surprised that that happens. We did cross-training with countries from all over the world when I was in the Marine Corps.
Not with the grid, though, Doug. That's
Now,
serious
the
stuff.
GridX thing with Obama is highly questionable. Remember, I was just into DHS when all this was going on, because I had come from contracting and then recruited into DHS when this stuff was happening. So I was very aware, freshly aware of the whole GridX thing. And I thought it was strange that we had Russia and China there.
Well, let me take us a step further with the GridX thing. This is why I have no trouble believing the sniffers. My congressman, Trent Franks, he used to come and speak at the church I was going to at the time. Trent Franks and I and his staffers, I'd have conversations with some of his staffers, and Trent Franks was highly concerned about the security of the grid. He had letters he wrote to NERC. He wrote, and this is also about nuclear security as well. He wrote to Obama. He wrote several letters calling out the lack of preparation on the part of the Obama administration, letting the enemies behind the gate. Okay, so this happened in 2012. Let me tell you what happened to my Congressman Trent Franks. His wife and he couldn't conceive. Guy didn't do anything wrong. His staffer, a female, offered to be the carrier of their kid and do artificial insemination. Nothing wrong with this. He didn't coerce her. She was paid her fee like anyone else would have been paid. And the Obama administration turned it into a scandal and forced him to resign. He just says, I'm not dealing with this crap anymore. There's better ways to make money. And he quit his congressional position. But the reason he got the pressure, because he blew the whistle on Russia and Chinese integration into our security. So, Doug, I know we're not going to convince each other here, and time will tell who's right on this, but I have no trouble believing that Biden would not do the same thing for sniffer pilots from Wagner that Obama did for the Russians with regard to GridX 2 and 3.
Look, I'm not calling it a hoax. I'm not calling it a hoax. We have been sold out from the inside.
True.
All right, but once again, sold out from the inside, and what I want to believe, and maybe this is personal bias, what I want to believe what our servicemen would do and not do are two different things.
Yeah.
So
Well, I know you're putting your faith in the brotherhood, aren't you?
I am, and it's mistaken me quite a bit, hasn't it? It's mistaken me quite a bit how many
N
times
not
we've been
for not for
betrayed.
everybody. There's still honor with many of our military personnel.
Well, and our pilots are a very unique, like our submariners and like our special operations, is a very unique group of guys with their own code of ethics, their own very unique history. And for them to be compromised to the level that they would allow someone who's not a U.S. military, someone who is an active mercenary, which we would call, if we arrested anyone over here, would be a terrorist, and to allow them over here, well, then they would be in trouble, and everyone on the flight would be in trouble as well. So I don't know. I don't believe the story.
I don't want to stay on this too long, but I'm going to say this in response. The turning over of these airplanes to Wagner could be done without U.S. personnel complicit. You could have the airplanes pre-positioned for untold reasons, and you could simply give Wagner the access and cordon off the area and have a highly secure activity and say, this is need to know, get the hell out of here. I could see perfectly how this could go down. And it wouldn't take American soldiers at the rank level betraying America. They might not even be involved.
Well, they could be doing these scans with their satellites. They could be doing these scans with their satellites without ever having to get someone from
I
Wagner
asked
over
that
here.
question. Degradation of signal was a phrase that I learned today from space, and it may not reveal munitions below a damn surface as accurately as you can get with close flyovers.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Out of all the different assets that they would have access to, why Wagner? Why Wagner? Why not just pay somebody that they've already got flipped on the inside and then just leak the
Because they
data?
may, okay, that triggers this answer for me. They may not have the necessary numbers, and Wagner does. Look at there's a lot of speculation in what we're saying now on both sides. The fact is this, is that sniffers are in the air. They're in the air for a reason. They're looking for something, whether it's something to trigger or they're looking for something that's been planted. It's one of the two. Don't you agree?
Or it could just be a basic training flight.
That's not how a lot of people are responding to this, though, Doug.
Well, but that's reality, though. It could be a basic training flight for, you know, if anything, if you could have a basic training flight and say, here's your parameters. In case of war, I want you to display X tactics. And don't okay. answer.
You're giving me a plausible explanation, but I wish this was true. I want to believe you more than what I'm being told.
Yeah, hey, Doug doesn't have all the answers.
But I think this is a lower probability, what you're saying, than they're actively looking for something that's going to be, they want to detonate, or something that's been planted that could be detonated and they're looking for it to stop. And it's one of the two things, Doug. I don't believe it's a training exercise. First of all, it's widespread. They're trying to be covert. You've got Monkey Works attention. You've got the attention of a lot of people that regular training activities don't draw.
Well, and like I said, you know, we've been a little bit in converse with the guys over there at Monkey Works. Not very much. At least people who are affiliated with them have contacted me. And they, for what I tell you, for at least the last 3 or 4 months, have been observing very strange flights and search patterns. I've even picked it up on my flight radar here. Around the DFW area, you know, almost like a box search method, which I thought was very unusual flight patterns. So
why would you do that? Tell the audience why you would do a box flight pattern.
It's simple. If your square is your grid, then you would just keep flying that square until it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, because it's a broad spectrum scanning mechanism. Now, you could be doing the same thing and also picking up all types of information. And I'm willing to bet that's also what they're doing. They're picking up all types of communication along with the sniffing.
Well, let me ask you a question, and I think you'll see where I'm going with this. Would such an event like I described at the top of the show, with the devastation that could happen with the breaking of the Oroville Dam, would that limit or enhance Biden's ability to bring in CBDC?
Well, if the estimates are true about what would happen if the Oroville Dam broke, we would have to go under an immediate state of emergency for the West Coast. Maybe not an entire national emergency, but then that would depend on what started the breaking of the dam. If it just naturally eroded away quickly, I wouldn't see us going into a whole, you know, national boomdoggle over it. But if something exploded from underneath it, oh, man.
50% of retail would be affected coming across I-5 for the whole nation. And there would be food shortages problem. Yeah. And then critical medicine would not be shipped from China. I mean, you got a crisis. It doesn't matter how the dam breaks. If it breaks, you get a crisis no matter how it happens.
Well, and remember, the whole reason for the dam breaking, this plausible scenario, was in case we lost control of the Western seaboard, we would break the dam either by nuclear means or by some other mechanical means, and then we would flood the Western seaboard. But in preparation of doing that, we would willfully be damning tens of millions of people to instant death.
Unless you had a plan to evacuate. And I don't know the continuity of government program in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the ability to evacuate tens of millions of people, where are you going to put them? Every hotel from here to Connecticut is going to be filled with people. I mean, we do a horrible job when a Category 3 hurricane comes through. So I don't know. We can never, the human element's always the problem. We can never accurately describe what's going on and get stuff done quickly and in time. So it would be up to those people evacuating to take care of themselves, and then the chaos that happens in between. But if we were to be invaded, knowingly invaded, like, hey, everybody, we're going to be invaded on X hour on Y day. You need to start evacuating from the coastlines and go to Central America. We'll also consider what that would do. You're going to be pushing populations of people closer and closer together, too.
Let me ask you this question. Why do you think border crossings are at a record low for this administration, particularly over the California-Mexican border?
Record low? I don't know about that, but...
Yeah, this is the lowest. This is what I've heard from Border Patrol. These are the lowest arrests they've had, the lowest detected border crossing they've had since Biden's become... No, since Biden's become president.
Well, I mean, think about this. If you were going to push into a country, where are you going to arm them? Where's your training going on? If these guys were already trained, they had to keep up a certain amount of training. So, and have the ability to seek medical attention and all that other stuff in case, you know, mass sickness breaks out in Mexico, which apparently it is, according to our sources from Border Patrol. But, I mean, you get the cartels to just hand each guy an AK-47 and three or four magazines and say, okay, everybody, you know, get online, push forward. And as, you know, the cartels are pushing forward, you have your infantry supporting heavy cavalry, more or less, heavy motorized cavalry, pushing in behind them. I mean, there's nothing that can stop that except for a large military contingency being plussed up with security forces from law enforcement. So, I mean, and that would be a hell of a fight. That would be a hell of a fight. That would be be almost like the fighting going on in Ukraine, and neither side wins.
For years in Central America, I reported on training camps run by the CIA and some Army personnel. And I had this from eyewitnesses that they were training cartel and terrorists together.
Well, in the Sinaloa Valley, that's going on.
Well, not just there, all the way through Central America. Mm-hmm. These camps used to be in El Salvador until the new president took them out. Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua all had camps. And I'm sure you saw in the last week it came out that there was an admission that training of terrorists was taking place in Central America.
Oh, yeah.
So what you're saying about pre-positioning and maintaining training, that's validated by the existence of these camps.
Well, and then we have some other things that we need to address. I want to address this real quick. Give me your opinion. It's from Axios. Blinken prohibits State Department personnel from discussing Russia's attempted rebellion. According to officials from the United States, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken issued a directive on Friday instructing State Department officials to abstain from making any remarks regarding the attempted insurgency in Russia. See that word, insurgency? Mm-hmm. Pay attention to these words, guys.
Well, I have an immediate reaction. If this was indeed a false flag, okay, Wagner's here and not really there in the numbers we thought. I could see why he wants his quiet. He's shutting down all speculation, all leaks, because you know there's some State Department people that knows what's happening. So he's shutting down all potential leaks. If we were really out to destroy Putin with a PR move here, we would be embellishing this event to the hilt, and we're not seeing that.
No.
This is the break that the pro-Ukrainian mafia and the military would be seeking right now. Is look at even Putin's own people's turning on him. We're hearing that, but we're not hearing it at a high pitch and a high volume.
No, and not only that, I mean, all they need is a little bit of information that they can eschew, that they can then lie quickly and tell other world leaders and militaries, hey, look, Russia's losing control. The guys are revolting and rebelling. We need to mount a charge, go in there and stabilize Russia. Listen to this. Heads are flying in Kiev. Vitaly Klitschko was reprimanded because of the inadequate condition of bomb shelters in the Ukrainian capital. The head of Metropolitan City Military Administration, Sergei Popko, has been brought to disciplinary responsibility. the heads of the capitals of Desnosky and Svashinsky administrations. My Russian is not good anymore. Dmitry Ratanov and Sergei Pavlovsky have also been dismissed. Yuri Gusev, the general director of the state company Ukroboronoprom, engaged in the production and repair of military equipment, was also dismissed. So, you know, Ukraine is up to no good. Here, let's go to this one.
Before you go on, hold on. You establish a pattern there. And I think the look at the purpose of the pattern is important. Anyone that might have knowledge related to the true nature of the Wagner event, gone.
Gone.
It's happening on both sides. Putin's purging. Why would Zelensky purge for something that he ostensibly had nothing to do with? You see my point?
I don't know, and that's
it. Doesn't make any sense, Doug. Unless this is an orchestrated effort.
Well, and don't forget, okay, even though we're talking with Zelensky, Zelensky is obviously talking with Putin. His guys are obviously keeping an open line of communication that we most likely are tapping as well. And if these two entities are saying, hey, look, enough of the bloodshed, well, then we'll stage a red flag or we'll stage a coup, and then we'll change that little problem, won't we? That's what we do. It's what we did in 2014. Snipers on the Roof, the Common Sense Show. Go and look it up. Listen to this. Big purge of elites after the rebellion. Who and when will be punished? Notice the words. Rebellion. Insurgency. Civil wars come up. A turning point has come, and now it is important not to make a mistake and use the situation to completely cleanse the country of cowards and traitors, says Alexander Dugin. Now, Dugin, don't forget, it was Ukrainian assets, most likely led by MI6 and CIA, who put a bomb in his young daughter's vehicle and killed her. This man is out for revenge until he is called home. This man will convince anyone in the Russian military, more especially because this is Putin's number two guy, Putin himself, to always be aware of the conspiracies and to always be making new conspiracies. That's what Dugin does. And he says he's calling in for a great purge of cowardly elites and traitors in Russia. And I told you on our way back from the training Monday to be expecting reprisal killings. I'm sure that's going to come soon. I'd be willing to bet that they make it into this big public display, and they have evidence and they have a judge and they have courts and all that, you know, stuff that that they'll want to do to verify it. And who knows if it's true or not.
No, I agree. I think we've kind of laid the problems out from different perspectives. I think we've done the audience a service here, because you and I have taken some contrary positions, and we'll know. And listen, I don't claim to have all the answers, and I know Doug doesn't either. We're putting out what we think is the proper interpretation. There's something going on. There are planes that are sniffing in California for some reason. And that's enough reason to be concerned right there. That I can say with certainty. And Paul Preston seems to have his finger on this event more than we do at this point. And I find it interesting. My best military source is more in the dark than I am on this. So this is probably a highly compartmentalized activity with high security protocols, would be my guess. But Doug, I think we've pretty well hit it, and I think we've done a pretty good job. But ladies and gentlemen, we could wait until we have an answer, but on this, we may never have an answer until it's too late, and we wanted to raise awareness. I don't know what's going to happen with the Oroville Dam. I will say this for sure, regardless of Russians, Chinese, whatever Wagner Group is doing, irrelevant. The Oroville Dam is in huge trouble. We covered this 2 weeks ago with specific data that can be publicly verified. That you can take to the bank, and you people who live downstream from the Oroville Dam better take precautions.
You need to have contingency plans. You got to. You got to.
You better take precautions.
The Oroville Dam is such a huge threat, and it's a huge target. And I also want to say this, Dave, and you and I have mentioned this before. We also want to make sure that we are doing the vetting process of our information.
Yes.
We're not just spreading a bunch of hyperbole or someone else's thesis, and we don't want to be caught up in sensationalism, so that we're actually at that point doing the enemy's business.
Yeah, we don't want to be the story.
Out their propaganda.
I agree. I don't have any interest in being the story here. My feeling is this, is that we have put out what we have heard, what we've been told.
That's right.
And there are things that are going on that are out of the ordinary and are highly concerning.
You know,
and Doug and I are bringing our experience to bear, and we've done dot connecting, but that's not on scientific, Doug. That's qualitative research.
That's
when
right.
I say Border Patrol is saying entries are way down, when we're saying that we can verify the sniffers are in the air, okay, and we're connecting this dot to that dot, that's qualitative research.
Well,
that's scientifically valid what we're doing.
The thing on the Border Patrol is very important. I had my guys that are out there on the border in operations, and what they told me, because I'm not gaining law enforcement information, what they told me is that the movement across the border just one day just stopped. It just stopped.
On a signal. That's what I was told. It's like someone flipped a switch. This is what I was told. Somebody flipped a switch and they stopped coming. That's what I was told. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I asked Paul about that. He had knowledge of that too. And Paul Preston said, Dave, they don't want to put these people that are going to help them in harm's way.
Oh, yeah. Why? Why? I mean, when America goes lights out, it's easier for everyone to just look to your left, look to your right, look straight forward, walk, stay in line.
I'll say this in response to everything here. There's clearly something coming. There is something coming. So food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine tools, the Bible, the Constitution for safekeeping, and train, prep, and pray.
Amen.
That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen.
Because rooted in Christ.
Something big. Let's put it this way. If you were Biden, do you need a home run right now as far as the false flag goes? I'd say yes. The key members of his cabinet, they're talking about impeaching. Okay. And then Biden is constantly under pressure right now. Even lamestream media is embarrassing him.
Yeah,
I saw a clip today where he, hey, Joe, are you still saying you didn't know anything about Hunter's business activities? And he started screaming at the reporter.
Yeah.
They're desperate. They're desperate for a game changer is what I'm saying.
This morning, a reporter asked him, how's the war in Ukraine going? He says, well, clearly Putin is losing the war in Iraq. I'm like, Jesus, man. And now he's showing up with lines on his face. And the White House press secretary had to put out information from the White House doctor that Putin's sleeping with a CPAP machine every night. So I'm not really surprised by that. A man that age, you know, probably should be sleeping with a CPAP. Hell, I should probably be sleeping with a CPAP. Mentally, man, he's deteriorating fast, like fast. So ask yourself this. If within the next, 6 months, he has to be replaced, what goon do you put up next? Because within about 6 months, according to the UFOs and according to this conspiracy and that conspiracy, World War III is going to happen.
Well, so, Victoria Nuland said July 11th that the World War III is going to start, which is an absolute asinine statement. I agree. I agree with what you're saying. But one thing I think we both agree on, something big is in the works right now.
Absolutely.
We're just trying to get a handle on the details, folks. And I'm just saying we would be negligent if we didn't come in here and tell you what we've heard. But when I went and started researching what Paul told me, I was able to confirm instantly about 30% of what he was saying. So that gave me credibility right there. And then the Border Patrol coming in with their observations, folks, this is big.
Yeah, I think the other thing to take into consideration is with what's been going on with the stock market.
Yeah.
Over the last week, the stock market has been closing in the negatives and everything. So, you know, that is starting to have some of the people that follow me are following the stock market quite closely. And they're letting me know that this is not good signs from
their professional opinions.
So too many things happen at once, man.
Well, let's hold it here because we could be following up as early as tomorrow. We'll have
to see
what happens. But I'm on a conference call tomorrow in the afternoon where I'm going to have some exposure to some of Paul's information firsthand. So we may be doing something after that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the lively debate between Doug and myself, all intention to get to the truth. And we'd make good congressional mates, one party versus the other, because we can debate issues, but we can still come to common ground. And unfortunately, our Congress has lost the ability to do that.
Well, the thing that the Doug and Dave Intel report does is that we put the betterment of the American people first, and then we make sure that we stand on the roots of being Bible-based Christians, and that we don't blow smoke, and we're not benefiting from this. We don't get paid. We ain't getting millions of dollars to be able to say these things, because it's our families that are in the line of fire like everybody else's. So as you know, all these big mainstream media people are getting paid by the government to lie to you. And even a lot of the people in the alternative media now are being pushed into that rhino Republicanist style point of view, because it's making a lot of money to sound that horn. We're staying true. We're making enemies, and that's fine. If we weren't making enemies, then we would be part of the problem.
Well, we're putting ourselves at risk for doing this, too. Since Paul and I talked last night, I've had more communication issues than I've had for a while. Let's put it this way. When you're taking flack, you know you're over the target. And I've been taking some flack, and I know you have, too. Okay, well, let's hold it here. Ladies and gentlemen, we may be back as early as tomorrow. We'll have to see how events unfold. But please, please, please do what you need to do to prepare for these situations. We'll see you back here next time. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, I'm Dave Hodges, and this has been the Doug and Dave Intel Report on the CommonSenseShow.tv.
Hey, guys, this is Wrecker of American Vindicta Show. I want to say thank you to everyone who has been subscribing and listening to the show. Your support, not both just financially, but with your prayers, has been keeping us going. We do our best to do our due diligence to make sure that you're getting some of the best information out there and not the flack that's coming out of many of these other guys' mouths. A lot of it's just superficial crap. So, we had a training over the weekend. That was the active shooter awareness and training course, along with the tactical casualty combat care course taught by my guest instructor, Special Forces medic Steve Reyes. It was a heck of a training, 16 hours to get up there, and then 30 hours worth of training over 3 days. And we did it in the heat with the bugs. We did it with the rain coming down. We had to do some stuff inside, and we got such great participation. All the students who showed up, I believe, left learning more than they came with, so that's always a positive. We are planning on doing another course in October. So in October, plan on being there at Ready Made Resources in Tennessee. Be a beautiful time of the year. Go ahead and take advantage of this now if you'd like, because I mean, if you show up for just, the 3 days and you are able to go on vacation and you can drive around this beautiful area, it's a great place to just get away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Turn off the cell phone and just relax, which I think is more important today than almost anything else that you're doing, trying to, relax and get away from the chaos of everyday life. So if you'd like to do that and help support me, help support my guest instructors, my assistants who come out there, help support Ready Made Resources, then go ahead and start thinking about going and saving up for that next course. The next course that we do is going to be a little bit different than the last two. We had a basic understanding of active shooter along with a shoot house and then some live fire. And then we changed it up so that we have more intimate knowledge on this one of going over, going through a doorway, going in and out of the threshold. And I literally took people by the hand and walked them through until they got it correct, which you're not going to get that from very many other instructors. We are very hands-on Christian-based, and we fellowshipped, honestly, and talked about Christ probably half the time that we were there. If we weren't training, we were fellowshipping. And while we were training, over in the line, as guys are waiting to come through the house, the shoot house, they were fellowshipping. So, you know, once again, the ability to get this type of training, I think is not really there. You might have a few other guys out there who are doing it, and praise God that we have good men who are out there who are willing to mix elbows with you and also talk about Jesus. But as far as I know, there's not many. So if you want to be able to come to like almost a mini, what does my buddy Dave Hodges call a gun conference? If you want to be able to come out, hang out with us, have fun with us, learn a bunch of skills. The SEER training surprised everybody when we started doing a little bit of the tactical questioning, kind of like just for situational awareness. You know, what we ended up doing, questioning people, especially from Steve Reyes, who was a SEER instructor, and then me from law enforcement perspective, questioning people, really opened the eyes of how to respond properly when being questioned by authorities during a time of mass duress, during a time of martial law. These were all the scenarios we were going over. And I think that also greatly helped. Steve went out of his way to teach people how to make fire from almost nothing. So the next course will be involving a lot of the shooting stuff. And once again, it's all airsoft, so it's safe. And because we're using airsoft, I can stand right there next to you without having to have eye pro and ear pro and all this other stuff, protection for my own safety. And we can walk you through it and make sure that you are comfortable. And it keeps everybody humble at the same time, too. Keeps everybody humble. And then we're going to have a lot more SEER, a lot more medical, a lot more SEER. So, you know, every training course, we're going to take the scenarios, we're going to take the events that we go through, and we're going to take your feedback, and we're going to adjust fire so that we have a more complete course. Nothing's ever perfect. We're going to have a more complete course. If anything, I would say that this type of course deserves 4 days, 5 days with the training, but I understand how hard that is in order to get the average person to come out for 4 or 5 days worth of training. You got all the logistic problems that you got to deal with getting cabins or camping by tent. But for anyone who showed up, I would love to hear it in your testimonials. How much more realistic was it that you camped out in the humidity the whole time? We didn't exactly have the ability to shower on hand. You know, we drank water all day. We were able to go out and get some food from in town. And look, there are places where you can go and take a shower if you get all nasty and dirty. We're not saying you couldn't do that. But I invited people to make the training hurt, to make the training suck as bad as you could stand it, so that it was constantly testing you. It was constantly pushing you. And it was a completely sterile environment. There was, you know, no one watching us. There was no problems going on. But you yourself can make the training worse by making it as realistic as possible. And by what I mean worse is everybody enjoyed what we were doing. But what you're doing is your physiology is being tested. How hydrated are you? How in shape are you? Are you wearing the right clothes? Still, guys who came to the training or who they're not listening. You're wearing the wrong clothes. You know, you guys, hey, I'm no different than a lot of you, but wearing cowboy boots all day is not going to be the most applicable thing whenever you are running around. You need to have tennis shoes, some sort of a light boot, a lace-up boot, because once you start to walk around, you get sweaty, and a lot of you guys will, and not that anyone did this, but a lot of you guys will walk around in cotton-based socks. Your socks are going to sweat. Your boots are going to keep in the heat, and then all that wetness, and it's going to get damp. And you know what happens? Foot immersion. Just go ahead and Google foot immersion if you want to have a little bit of a nightmare tonight. Half your foot will rot off from jungle rot. You guys need to be listening to what those of us who've been in the field, who've had the experience, are telling you. Wool socks, tight clothing, not super tight, but not really, really loose clothing. Because all you guys who had loose shirts on at this training, how many different times did I have to tell you, take your shirt out of your holster because you couldn't holster your pistol properly? Right? We have to, if we're going to take this serious, if people think that they're going to be ready to move themselves and their families out of harm's way, or God forbid, we have to fight the Russians and the Chinese off, you guys need to be ready from top to bottom. That's why this training went a little bit slower than we had hoped for, but it's because we worked from your footsteps and how you walked all the way up into how you shot. And that is the only real way to train comfortably and to remember what you're doing. It has to be a natural process, especially when we're doing room clearing. Most people who showed up, they did not even know how to walk through a doorway properly. So we have to take you from baby steps, which there's nothing wrong with that. Whenever I joined the Marine Corps, I had to learn baby steps. So we take you from baby steps and we walk you through properly. And, you know, for anyone who showed up and you're listening, God bless you. You guys busted your ass. You went out there and you did all the hard work. And look at how many of you showed up. So to the rest of you listening to me, hear me. 12 people showed up for this training. 12 people. And out of the 12 people who showed up, 4 of them were from the ages of 40 to late 20s. So if the majority are in their 50s and 60s, showing up for this training course, which is a combat course. I mean, that is what it is. You're getting yourself ready for a combat situation. What are you young guys doing with your life? You 20-somethings, you 30-somethings, you 40-somethings, you got it all figured out, don't you? Don't you? You know how to clear your weapon whenever it malfunctions. You know how to shoot properly. You know the proper gear to wear. You got the proper clothing. You know how to go in and out of a home without tripping over your feet and shooting yourself, don't you? You make excuses for not going to these courses, but then you will not make an excuse for buying that 30-pack of beer and going and getting drunk over the weekend. $800 is a lot of money right now. I'm more than aware of that. But, guys, if you're not ready, especially if you're a father, if you are not ready for these courses to be going down, and for all this stuff that everyone keeps saying, World War III and God knows what, that's going to be happening soon. If you're not ready for this, that's on you. I'm not going to be there to protect you. The men and women who showed up for this course, who now have probably 10 times the amount of training that you do, is not going to be there to help you. And that training is not for when this hypothetical, you know, Red Dawn happens. If any of these, you know, good men and women who showed up, they got the training, this can be for any part of their day in life. And if anything, my training is dedicated to learning how to protect your home first and then to move that protection outward to protecting other people. That's all I'm going to say for right now. I wish more people would show up. What we're doing is not trying to make money. What we're doing is trying to spread knowledge. And, you know, guys, get what training while you can. If you don't get it from me, that's great. That's fine. Get it from somebody. Learn basic fundamentals of marksmanship. Make sure that your body is in good, healthy shape. Make sure you're not buying trash shoes. That, you know, you're not buying trash clothing. Have a set aside pair of clothing that is good, hardy, and resistant to the elements. All right. You know, I mean, because if we're going to talk about being serious about being preppers, as the government calls us, what are you really prepared for? Because if all you're prepared for is to sit in your house and to eat your buckets of Mountain House food until Jesus comes back, you got another thing coming. And that other thing is going to be people coming for your food. So, yeah, I am trying to scare you a little bit. That's reality. Anyone who's been outside of this country understands that reality. Be prepared when you can, while you can, so that uneventful day When you need this knowledge, guys, you at least have some of it. All right? Some of it. Here's what I tell you to do. If you can't afford my course, that's fine. My course is the cheapest course, as far as I know, in the United States for 3 days of training. This is what I tell you to do. Get a basic fundamental course for pistol, rifle, and shotgun. Familiarize yourself with these three weapon systems. That is what you're going to come across. AR-15, AK-47, semi-automatic pistol, a revolver, and a shotgun. That is the weapon systems that the average American will have. If it's given to you, at least you'll know how to use it. The worst thing in your hand is a gun that's jammed and you don't know what to do with it. At that point in time, you might as well throw it at the bad guy. Take you a basic prepper survival course. Any type of bushcraft course will greatly benefit you. And if anything else, guys, what it does is if you're hesitant to go out into the wild, if you're hesitant to go and get any type of tactical training, if you can at least just be humble, go and get, you know, a couple hours of instruction from somebody, then not only are you helping to feed that man's family, but you're also feeding yours with the knowledge that you're getting. And hopefully it will help to open the door to another bit of training. And once you get on this roll and you are going to training course after training course, you're going to realize what is more important. Having survival skills, and I don't mean, you know, gold and silver sitting in the back of your safe, or, you know, mounds and mounds of, you know, Mountain House Food or Numana or any of these other great companies, but the ability to think your way through problems, because what my course shows everybody is that the first problem and the last problem is the human problem. The first problem is us. We got to learn how to get past our own fears and uncertainty. And once we learn the proper footwork and that pretty much everything is just a nice smooth walk and a dance through a doorway, and then you work on the basic fundamentals of marksmanship so that way you are accurate with your firearms. You're not hurting anyone who doesn't need to be hurt. And also, not every time you go through a doorway is there going to be a bad guy. So you'll learn trigger discipline. These things are what not only are going to help you survive, but until that day that the grid goes down and Godzilla appears, if you get into a shooting, you need to know the proper way of handling your weapon and yourself so that you remain legal in what you're doing. Because you're accountable for everything that you do. Everything that you do, every time you squeeze that trigger, you will be held accountable. You'll be held to a standard. So you better be careful for all you whimsical keyboard mercenaries out there who are ready for the Russians to come. Good luck. Good luck. I wish you the best. That's all I got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Stay frosty. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.